Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Could not get in with Skype this evening. I'm calling in on the phone. I do apologize for the poor sound quality. It didn't even sound like a good connection. I want to do a show this evening, a kind of a warm-up, so to speak. I'm going to give a quick kind of introduction, real high-level overview of the Meyer information. And then I also want to look forward into the prophetic data a little bit, and something I haven't really done in great detail. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the title of the program today, which is talking about some genetic engineering that we're going to be doing in the future, according to Contact Report 251. Anyway, Edward Albert Meyer is a 80-year-old man. He lives in Switzerland in near a tiny mountain village called Hinterschmidruti. He actually lives in Hinterschmidruti, which is about 45 minutes east of Zurich in the pine forests, the green pine forests of northern Switzerland, in an idyllic setting with beautiful snow-capped mountains around. Billy has written about 50 books. He's an incredibly prolific author. He started having this tremendous adventure of a life right around when he was 5 years old. He started to get these telepathic messages and then eventually face-to-face contacts with a man named Svoth, who was an extraterrestrial human from a star system called the Pleiaren star system. You know, and you hear a lot of people that talk about the Pleiadians, but there really aren't any Pleiadians per se. Meyer's contacts were from the Pleiaren star system. Even though they originally allowed themselves to be called the Pleiadians, they live some 80 light years beyond our Pleiades in a different space-time configuration. And there are seven space-time configurations in the material aspect of our universe. There are seven counter-rotating spheres in our universe, and the fourth sphere in our universe is the material aspect of our universe, the material belt. So Billy had contacts with Svoth, and Svoth landed his strange silvery pear-shaped craft in northern Switzerland near a town called Niederflux, where Billy was living when he was 5 years old or so. And Billy said that he was lifted up into the craft as if by ghostly hands. Svoth told Billy about his previous lives, that he had been the people that today we call Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. And in these previous lives, he had taught the universal teaching, the teaching of the spirit, which talks about the intelligence which drives the evolution of our universe, this universal consciousness, talks about reincarnation and various creational natural laws like the law of love, law of harmony, the law of striving. Very important, these concepts are to understanding what our role is here on the earth. So Billy was taught very much. Also, Svoth put a device on his head that revived abilities that existed in his subconscious in these previous lives. The subconscious contains the essence of your levels of evolution from previous lives. So Svath kind of used a technology to bring those abilities back in this lifetime. And we're going to be talking about those abilities and what they tell us about what's going to happen and what is happening. So Svath was an extraterrestrial man of almost 1,000 years old. And he had come to the Earth to help to mentor Svath to mentor Billy for the first, for 11 years. Billy was about 5 years old. His contacts with Svath lasted until 1953 when he was 16 years old. He was told that he would be contacted by his second mentor, a woman named Asket. And Asket is from a parallel universe called the Tao universe. According to my information, our universe and this parallel universe were created 46 trillion years ago during the time of the Big Bang. And Asket's people, the Timmers, developed technology that allowed them to go into this other universe about 3,000 years ago. And Asket, in 1953, sent a robotic craft to pick up Billy. And eventually, Asket and Billy went below the Great Pyramid into these old cubicle constructions that were some 73,000 years old. And down there, Billy saw the headquarters of a group of extraterrestrial humans related to the Pleiaren that were very negative, very evil, that were intent on controlling the Earth using religion and using a kind of technology called telenotic impulses, which were kind of hypnotic in nature and would kind of put people in a very suggestible state, so to speak. And Asket showed Billy some of the plans of these extraterrestrials. And Billy saw some really amazing things. Maybe we can talk more about that later. But the next thing that Asket did was to take Billy back in time to the 13th century, where Billy got to see the Earth before it had been overpopulated the way it is now with 9 billion people. At this time, the Earth was still in its idyllic state with about 500 million people, less than a billion. There were forests everywhere. It was just tremendously beautiful. The atmosphere was very sweet, very thick in oxygen, and it was just an idyllic set of circumstances. The Earth was pretty much a paradise. And in its rightful state would be a paradise if we would get back to following these creational natural laws that the Meyer material talks about. So Billy and Asket returned back to the current time, and their next trip was 2,000 years back into the past, where Billy met the prophet Emmanuel. And this prophet was actually a former personality of Billy Meyer, and perhaps we can talk a little more about reincarnation in order to have that make more sense. Now, this teacher, unfortunately, his teachings were distorted very much. He taught about reincarnation. He talked about the universal consciousness. He talked about the immortality of the human spirit. And his teachings were distorted and twisted, and what we have now is what's in our New Testament. Even the name of Emmanuel was later changed some 1,500 years later to Jesus. I mean, there was no letter J in the ancient world. So people like Jesus and Julius Caesar were known by different names that really began with an I or a Y. And we'll, maybe if we have time, we'll talk more about that later on in the show. But what I'm trying to do is give kind of a higher level overview of things. And then we're going to look into the future with a higher level overview. So after that point, Askit met with Billy when Billy was in the Middle East, when Billy was studying in the Ashoka Ashram. And in the Ashoka Ashram, Askit would be seen walking in the gardens there with Billy. Her ship was seen hovering over the ashram many different times. Eventually, after about 11 years of study, Askit left, and Billy was left for 11 years with no mentor other than himself. And during that time, he studied very much. He also lived somewhat of a normal life. He took a wife, a woman named Calliope, a young Greek woman, who would not be faithful to Billy and would not be what you would call an ideal wife. They had three children, one of which was not Billy's, two of which were. Eventually, she left Billy. She also was very vindictive and turned against Billy and had a lot of slanderous things to say. But this had to happen. In fact, Svath told Billy back when Billy was 5 years old that this would happen. And it turned out to be a blessing because it helped him to focus that much more on his mission. Now, Billy's contacts picked up right around in 1975. And this is Billy's most well-known contact was with a woman named Semyase, who was the great-granddaughter of Svath. She would land her beam ship in Switzerland out in the open, and the two would talk together, for example, right under trees out in the open. But as time went on, too many people started to come around. It became impossible for them to meet in this way. So they had to come up with more private ways to talk and meet. Billy was being taught the spiritual teachings. He was also being taught much about ancient earth history at this time. These were very critical teachings. One day, a couple of years later, Semyase and Billy were actually meeting in Billy's headquarters in Hintrish Midruti, in the building Billy had named it the Semyase Silver Star Center, and one of the other people there at the Figu walked in, and the man was named Jacobus. He walked in on Billy and Semyase, who were talking. Now, the Plearn are very empathic. They're very sensitive. They can sense all of our thoughts and feelings, probably our subconscious thoughts, our unconscious thoughts that we aren't even aware of. And we have very many negative thoughts. We have lots of anxiety. We have thoughts of inferiority and anger and fear and all sorts of very, very negative thoughts. And these hit the Plearn much like being hit by a car or a bus. It has a traumatic effect on them. She fell. She hit her head. And she was beamed back to her ship. Eventually, she got medical attention, and she recovered, but it was like 8 months before her and Billy could talk again, and they resumed their contacts for about a year or so, but then she had a relapse, and she had to go into a kind of permanent kind of therapy. I shouldn't say permanent, but an extensive, long-time therapy, which she's currently getting in the Tao universe. So that's how the third contact was broken off. So at this point, we've had Svath, we've had Askit, we've had Semyase. One of the interesting trips that Billy took with Semyase during this time is they went on a trip around our solar system. And Billy got to see Mercury and Venus. He got to see Earth. They went around the Earth, orbit around the Earth. They saw the Apollo-Soyuz hookup, the two spacecraft. He saw Mars. He got to see Saturn. And then they went out to Jupiter. And at Jupiter, the ship went in Semyasa's ship went into an opening in Jupiter, an opening in the mothership, which was by Jupiter at this time. And the beam ship landed in the mothership, the Pleiaron mothership, which was tremendously large. It was taller than any mountain on Earth and about 10 miles in diameter. And there were beautiful, gigantic gardens in this craft. Semyasi and Billy went up to the bridge, which is very high up, a tall shaft. And in the bridge, Billy met Ptah, and he saw the roof of this craft, where somehow the Pleiaron were able to project the stars from the outside on the roof of the cupola of the bridge of this great starship. And next, Billy went on various trips with them, where they went on these hyper jumps from one star system to the next, and each one of these jumps was longer. And this was done intentionally because Billy got to experience much what it feels like to be in eternity at this time. There were these great feelings of peace and joy and happiness while he was in this state, state of bliss, when the ship would be, and everything in the ship would become energetic. And Billy got to be reminded, I guess reminded is maybe a, I don't know if that's the correct word or not, but about how it feels to be in the final state of evolution of humanity. And this was a very profound effect. It had a tremendous effect on Billy. He kept saying the German word, Empfinden, Empfinden, I feel, I feel, I feel. Eventually, this came to an end, and he was somewhat traumatized by going back into the state of being in the physical. But he got to meet his old friend Asket again, because eventually they traveled to the very edge of our universe, where Asket's ship was out there, and they got to have a quick reunion, Billy and Asket. So this is kind of a brief, high-level overview of all of these amazing adventures that Edward Albert Meyer has had over all these years. And I wanted to do that to kind of set the stage for the next part of the show, where I'm going to talk about the prophecies, what's coming, because we're starting to see it happen already. The collapse of the U.S. in 2020, one of the few times I've seen the Meyer material talk about an actual date. So this is extremely close, and we're seeing a lot of upheaval in the U.S. We're seeing a lot of damage by the hurricanes. So after this potential collapse in 2020, there will be two civil wars. One follows the other. And the U.S. will be split into five different categories, or five different places, or five different countries. By this time, we've already seen the destruction of the World Trade Center, which is one of the other prophecies that was talked about this time. We will also see these fires and hurricanes even become more and more intense. And what we have now is Maria, which is a hurricane. The third hurricane hit the Caribbean and Florida and Texas. This one has pretty much destroyed Puerto Rico. They're saying the people in Puerto Rico are going to be without power for months. I think at one time there were 12 million people in Florida without power. So the fires and the hurricanes in the U.S., we're seeing tremendous forest fires, which I've talked about many times here on the show. So these are signs of what's coming. Another thing that we're going to see is the earthquake in San Francisco, which is going to completely wipe out San Francisco. Mexico City just got slammed with a 7.1 earthquake. This is what's coming. This is, we're seeing it happen. In fact, there is going to be eventually total devastation in North America. There will be the release of nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons. At some point, there will be a warlike action. There will be conflict related to all these activities. And this will, right now, the prophecy is it will destroy North America. It'd be a devastation we haven't really seen anything like before. We're going to see the collapse of religion. We're already seeing that in the Catholic Church. John Paul II, Ratzinger are mentioned by name in the Meyer prophecies as being people, popes that are very close to the final pope. And eventually, I think there won't be a pope in the Catholic Church, and then we'll have the collapse of the Catholic Church. After that will be the rise of the robot peoples. These are people which will intentionally have their arms and legs removed intentionally to have their nerve endings attached to machines, and they will have great physical abilities, great mental abilities as well. And for a while, the robot people will rule the earth. And maybe this is a good time for just a little bit of a break here and kind of bring us down to earth, listen to some nature sounds, because this information can be a little overwhelming at times. Well, I'm back, folks. I hope that you can hear my voice clearly. I'm never sure about the phone connections. It's kind of hard to tell. We were talking about the rise of the robot people. Well, roughly at this time, there will be another war on the earth will ensue. And I'll read what it says here in Contact 251. It says, another war on Earth will ensue, for terrestrials have failed in their attempt to become more peace-loving and intelligent. The future will hold nothing positive pertaining to scientists, because they have begun to perform their first genetic manipulations on humans and animals by this time. And they will be creating enemy entities called the semi-humans, whom they will produce by crossing humans with pigs and train them as fighting machines. These entities will be sent into war and will also perform a variety of tasks in space. However, the situation will not go well very long. The entities will oppose their creators, like is also the case with the robotic humans who have arms and legs amputated so that their nervous system can be attached to minute electronic biological devices, whereby these semi-humans will become living navigational devices for spaceships, every type of weaponry, machinery, and terrestrial vehicles, to name but a few. A man will appear and present the universal teachings to the entire terrestrial population. He will be remarkably successful. I don't know if that's another incarnation of Billy or not. We'll have to wait and see. Sometime after this point, we will start to correct our genetic defect. We have a genetic defect which keeps us with a shortened lifespan of 100 years or so and keeps us in a warlike state. After that, we will settle on Mars, and there will be colonies that develop on Mars. Eventually, we will find absolute proof that there were ancient civilizations on Mars, and there will be war with the Mars colonies. And roughly around this time, mankind will start to have, the lifespan will increase to 350 to 450 years because of the corrections of our genetic defects. There'll be the development of craft that can travel beyond the speed of light, many times beyond the speed, hundreds, even thousands of times. We will start to create an artificial sun, and this is related to some things that are coming about here. Let me see if I can, we'll have to talk about that later perhaps. We will also bring a very dangerous life form back from space, and I think it's called the wolf. Even though it's not a wolf, I will see if I can find a little bit here about that. It's pretty scary. Okay, let me read here. The discovering, refurbishing, and renewed operation of ancient extraterrestrial artifacts and stations on Mars will be in the not-too-distant future, and much later in other places as well. This will be accomplished by our distant descendants. These events are also associated with grave danger. However, for dangerous diseases and epidemics will be brought back to the Earth by way of space travel, along with the exceedingly vicious wolf, as one prediction calls this horror, which could be a horrifying animal or a deadly epidemic. The definition of the wolf is not clear yet, and an explanation is still pending. So this will be one of the things that happens. We also, in the future, will discover our origins in the Sirius system. Our benefactors that created the genetically manipulated humans are from the Sirius system. We will find proof for that. Eventually, we'll have contact with other civilizations. The health and beauty of the Earth will be restored, and we will gain our 1,000-year lifespans back. This is over an 800-year period that where the positive changes start to happen. We will increase our stature. The people on Earth will start to be taller again. We will, like I said earlier, we will have our 1,000-year lifespans back, and we will eventually travel to other worlds, and our descendants will be very prosperous on these other worlds. So this is kind of a different kind of show in that I'm giving an overview of Billy's life and a kind of an overview of some of the future prophecies that are talked about. I'm probably going to do a short show this evening, but I wanted to at least cover, if possible, a little bit of spiritual teachings. I always think it's important to talk about the spiritual teachings. Let's just, The Way to Live is a book, one of the books, I read these books over and over again. The Way to Live is called Die Art zu Leben in the German language. It's a book written between November 8, 1995 to January 8, 1997 by Billy Edward Albert Meyer. It was translated by Vivian Legge and Dyson Devine into English. It's a bilingual book, of course, with the German appearing on the left page and the English appearing on the right page. And just keep in mind that interwoven into all of Billy's German spiritual teaching text is an evolution code. And the words have to be in the correct position and free of errors. For this to work, this releases impulses from the storage banks that start to work in the reader. So even reading a little bit, a few of the words in the German out loud can be helpful in helping to do this. Now, one of the principles in this book is called fulfilling your duty to yourself. So we need to be honest, benevolent. We can't turn our back on ourselves. We need to be kind-hearted, big-hearted, good-natured. That means no feelings of inferiority, no self-chastisement, no self-abuse, no bitterness. Be gentle to yourself, but don't flatter yourself. Care for the health of your body and your psyche. Challenge your body and your mind. Don't devote yourself to your passions, to your lusts, to your vices, your addictions. Use your intelligence, your rational logic. If you don't, you will have no enjoyment in the fulfillment of your responsibility. Care for the health of your body and your psyche. Do not disregard the health of your consciousness. This is all part of fulfilling your duty to yourself. If you devote yourself to your passions, you will end up like a person running through the smoldering desert, dying of thirst. If you do not pay attention to the importance of fulfilling your duty to yourself, you'll end in misery. You'll have suicidal thoughts. So we have to do this. We have to pay attention, fulfill your duty to yourself. This is part of the spiritual teachings. Also, forgetting is very important. Be able to let go of things. Let go of things that you cannot change, things that have happened. Also, be aware that you have a false I. You have an inner personality, an innermost self, that's related to your spirit form. You also have a false eye that attempts to complicate and deny everything. Be aware of when the false eye is motivating your thoughts and making things more complicated. The false ego tends to be a tyranny over your consciousness, and that will cause the repeating thoughts because it's the automatic thoughts which are the critical point, because through them the feelings are disturbed and the psyche is disturbed. So recognize the repeating thought syndrome and break free of that. That's the tyranny of the false I, the repeating thought syndrome. That's the false I, taking control of your thoughts. If you're trapped in that, if you're trapped in the false repeating negative thoughts, contemplate a moment of gladness. A time, a sunshiny day out in the forests or out in the park somewhere with your dogs or your cats or with loved ones. Or contemplate a moment of gladness in the wintertime when the snowflakes are coming down and a sunbeam mysteriously fingers the forest. Contemplate a moment of gladness when you see a flower on the edge of a path or just a group of very big, beautiful green trees or a moment of peace, of love, of happiness. Contemplate a moment of gladness where you see the shades from the middle of the forest, where you walk in there and you feel the inner harmony of the forest. These are moments which work deep into your consciousness and makes your feelings tingle, and it pleases your psyche. These are important moments. Moment, the word moment, Augenblick, is the German word for moment. So think about these moments. In Contact Report 10, line 21, it says, joy comes forth from the human's inner part, created by spiritual and consciousness-based poise. So this is very important, contemplating and thinking of a moment of gladness. So fulfill your duty to yourself and learn to break the stranglehold that occurs on you when you have wrong thinking. Now, what are the characteristics? Let me give you seven examples of good, neutral, positive thinking. Tell yourself, I am confident. I'm optimistic. I'm relaxed. I'm cheerful. I'm thankful. I'm enthusiastic. I'm in harmony. These are, I think, seven characteristics, if I remember them all. Seven neutral positive thoughts that are talked about between page 200 and 230 in the Might of Thoughts book. Remember, it is the nature of thoughts. It is by their very nature that your thoughts have the might to bring every conceivable thing into fruition. There's no limitation on your thoughts. There's no limitation on the power of your thoughts. Good thoughts, your neutral positive thoughts lead to good feelings, which lead to neutral positive habits, and these habits build up the circumstances in your life. So your thoughts lead to the circumstances in your life. You are responsible for the circumstances in your life. You may have created some negative circumstances. Usually that's done accidentally, and many times subconsciously and unconsciously we create these negative circumstances in our life. So be aware of your thoughts. Do not let your thoughts drift like a boat on a river or on a lake. Steer your thoughts. Always steer your thoughts. And stay in that neutral positive. I'm confident. I'm optimistic. I'm relaxed. I'm cheerful. I'm thankful. I'm enthusiastic. I'm in harmony. Pull yourself back into that state of harmony. That's where we need to be at all times. Be as harmonious in your thinking as possible. And this will lead to happiness. I mean, there is no happiness outside of striving, which is one of the creational natural laws. There's no happiness outside of fulfilling your duty to yourself. There's no happiness outside of being neutral, positive in your thinking. So we've got to learn to be neutral, positive in our thoughts. We've got to learn to fulfill our duty to ourselves. And if we do these things, we will continue to move forward and have progress in our spiritual lives. I want to read a little bit, just short little passage here from the book called The Psyche. Like I said, I'll probably cut this short a little bit, show a little bit short tonight because kind of right at the past the middle point of the week. The power that the thinking uses as impetus does not stem from the human being himself or herself. It streams in the spirit and from there into the consciousness, coming out of the unmeasurable expanses of space and of the universe. It stems from the tremendous wealth of spirit of the Ur-life of the creation, which is responsible for the life of the entire universe. So let's look at that again. The power of your thinking does not stem from the human being. So that's why our thoughts are so powerful. It streams in the spirit and from there into the consciousness, coming out of the unmeasurable expanses of space and of the universe. The power of our thinking really is related to our spirit and to the expanse of the universe. I mean, this is an incredible power that we have here. If we can just learn to utilize it. Elizabeth Mooseberger wrote the foreword to this book, she said it's dedicated to a human being who's humankind that's ill in our consciousness. One of the illnesses of our consciousness is related to religion. And there's research now from Duke University which says that religious factors can cause what's called hippocampal atrophy in late life. It causes the atrophy of a certain part of our brain that's associated with long-term memory, spatial memory, navigation, and emotion. So your hippocampus is negatively influenced by religion. So keep that in mind. Billy has a whole teaching on what's called the God delusion insanity. And this is part of an insanity which is transferred genetically from person to person, from father to son and daughter. And remember to think independently, because independent thought causes the evolution of your consciousness. Think independently of Billy. Think independently of what the contact reports say. Don't depend on what Billy says. Don't depend on what some important person at FIGU says. You make up your own mind. Use your own logic. This is a thing that bugs me sometimes, you know. People can't even think for themselves anymore, which is ridiculous. Better to think for yourself and be wrong than someone that's just following someone else and not thinking for themselves. So in the great mass, there are only a few who really have their own thoughts anymore, who think, that have their own perceptions and feelings. It's hard to imagine that we live in a society where independent thinking is real. And independent thinking is rare in our society. Very few people do it. Independent thinking is what will cause your own consciousness to evolve. People today are told what to think by the media, by their churches. You should have a strong enough character to think for yourself. You cannot have the evolution of your consciousness unless you can think independently for yourself. Faith short circuits logic. And Askett was told that, or told Billy that a lot of the reasons that they give us prophecies is to help us think independently. And without thinking independently, you cannot evolve your consciousness. So don't be a follower. Don't even be a follower of Billy. Don't be a follower at all. Think your own thoughts. Be independent in your thinking. Because your own might is anchored in your thoughts, not in my thoughts, not in Billy's thoughts. Think independently. And you are the forger of your own fortune. You are the forger of the circumstances of your life. Think in a neutral, positive way. You are the creator of your own morality, of your character, of your entire personality. You are the creator of the state of your own psyche. You are the smith of your entire life circumstances. You are not the victim of anything. You are responsible for your life circumstances. Let me give an example from the Might of Thoughts, which talks about incurable diseases. But even with incurable diseases, reality proves time and time again that there are cases in which positive, constructive thoughts and feelings have made healing, which appeared impossible, made it possible by the right thinking, because the might of the thoughts was victorious for life. If a human being wants to dissolve shades of grief, of sorrow, unpeace, and misery, or lovelessness, he or she finds the only right comfort solely in your own thoughts and in the feelings formed from them. real inner freedom and harmony and forms your own thoughts accordingly will clearly recognize the victory over yourself and thereby over your own thoughts and feelings. You know, if you tend to nurture negative thoughts, if you're stirring up trouble, if you have selfishness, egotism, cynicism, imperiousness, vice, or any other asartang, you are enslaving your own self and your own consciousness. You are creating a self-imprisonment. We were not designed to be imprisoned by our own thoughts. We are designed to be happy people. We are designed to be stable people. May the human being, and this comes from the Way to Live book, may the human being ought not to have only an active inner nature. Rather, he or she should also be connected to the learning. In order to nurture the progress through these two values together, a truthfully wise human being nurtures seven things regarding being human. He or she is modest in his or her leading of life. He or she is modest in regard to his fellow human beings. He or she is deferential and respectful in dealing with and in the duty in regard to his fellow human beings and all life forms. He or she is magnanimous towards his fellow human beings and all life forms. 5, he or she is truly generous to his fellow human beings. 6, he or she is fair and honest in the dealings with and regarding the duty to his fellow human beings. 7, he or she is filled with love for all life, for human beings and animals, as well as for plants and everything which exists. Acquaintances or friendships may last a long time, as is also the case with relationships with relatives. However, pertaining to all of these relationships is that if the peace and the reciprocal connectedness are to be maintained, all ought to be shown the same amount of deference and respect as was given right from the beginning. Before a human being acts, everything must be thoroughly considered so that the source of the possible errors is kept as small as possible. As long as it goes well for the human being, he or she plays the strong and knowing one. But if it goes badly for him or her, then he or she plays the weak and unknowing one. To do that is not only an abomination, rather it is also a low intelligence which can scarcely be matched by anything. The human being should not recall the earlier errors and badness of his or her fellow human beings, so he or she does not reap resentment and hate. Ingratiating words and appearing with exaggerated respect before one's fellow human beings creates resentment, just as much as does the false pretense of being well-disposed toward the human being next to oneself. It is only seldom that honesty is found, as the honesty is found in the human being to the degree that one recognizes one's own errors and charges himself with them inwardly. But exactly that must be the necessary work so that the mistake is remedied and learned from, and thereby progress is guaranteed. So, 3 great books I recommend to all of you: The Way to Live, Die Art zu Leben, Mind of Thoughts, Macht der Gedanken, and The Psyche. Clarify your thoughts, use effort, practice patience, and you will have a harmonious life. Remember, you are the master of your own destiny. You are in charge of your life. So clarify your thoughts. Get clear of confusion and uncertainty. Make things intelligible, free from ambiguity. Remember, confusion comes from a Latin word meaning to pour together, to mingle together. So with confusion, the boundary between things are lost. All wrong, useless, negative, and impure thoughts are eliminated in order to make space for the neutral, positive, right thoughts. And I want to close the show with one thing Emmanuel wrote in his final teachings. He says, "Truly I say to you, a love that is unlimited, constant, and unfailing is unconditional and is pure love, in whose fire all that is impure and evil will burn. Everything human within the human beings must die, but everything of creation within them must rise and embrace creation. Everything humans possess has its origin in creation. Therefore, it belongs to creation. Human beings shall transfer their entire spiritual lives and perfect them so that they will become one with creation." Well, I hope you've enjoyed the show this evening. I've enjoyed bringing it to you. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Have a great evening.